Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Appreciate all our listeners all across the DMV. You can check me out in Richmond Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. And you know, while I got you guys, I want to let you guys know about Football Festival. Yes, my annual event that I throw in Richmond, that I try to make the ultimate crossover between sports fans and music lovers with a headline band, a couple awesome performers, and of course, we'll get our girl Mackenzie Ryan back to sing the national anthem before I take the stage for a full football season preview show. We had Grant Paulson and Danny Rouye. G&D make the trip up last year, so I know everybody loves listening to them during the week, but it was awesome to get them to come last year, and we just had this awesome party where we previewed the season. But this year, we're going to be talking about a Commanders team that has high expectations. Football Fest 3, August 16th at River City Roll, with special guests representing the Commanders, Tim Hightower and Fred Smoot. I mean, I'm just super excited. Thanks to the Commanders for setting that up. It's going to be a ton of fun. That's August 16th at River City Roll in Scott's Edition. Make the trip. It's going to be worth it. We'll have swag, prizes, giveaways, as well as a full football season preview show with a ton of special guests. But I'm excited for training camp. 10 days away. And as you can hear in my voice, and I've been talking about, this is the most excited I've been, and this might be the most anticipated training camp in 10 years. So I want to know. I told you the 10 guys with 10 days away who I feel like have the most pressure on them. Well, who are you excited to see? Who are you interested in following their development? Maybe it's a rookie, a second-year guy. Or maybe it's one of these new free agents like a Will Harris. You're seeing how he fits into the schemes. And then lastly, I'll ask, who does Washington need to have a good season? Who does Washington need to have a good season? The top of my list is Deebo Samuel. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Brian in Lovettsville. What's up, Brian?
Hey, how's it going, man? Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, who are you looking forward to seeing?
Yeah, man. So I'm really looking forward to seeing Ja'Cory Krosky, Merritt, Bill. I feel like that's probably the weakest link on the offense right now, the running back room.
Yeah.
And we kind of know what we have in the other running backs, but if he proves to be, you know, this hidden gem that he potentially could be, I think we're pretty dangerous on offense.
Yeah, but what do you think about Chris Rodriguez Jr.? You're not more excited about him?
Man, I don't think he cracks the roster, man. I mean – Who is he beating out? I don't know. I don't think he can beat out. You're going to cut Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt when you have no other really nobody else beyond contract this year.
Yeah, I just don't know why everybody is so obsessed with Ja'Cory Krosky Merritt, seventh rounder pick, 245, who didn't play college football last season.
He's the unknown, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, Rodriguez, I like him. Every time he got an opportunity, he did well, man.
Right.
So I'm not trying to knock him. Maybe he does crack it, you know? Injuries happen too, so you never know. I don't dislike T-Rod by any means. I just don't see him cracking this roster. They brought back McNichols.
Yeah,
you know,
but it's the unknown. I mean, you just nailed it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the fact everybody's like, "Ooh, what could he be?" So I get that. Give me another name, though. Give me another name.
All right. Well, I'm kind of gonna stray off the path here, but I'm kind of looking forward to who they bring in that's not on the roster yet. So I'm hoping they bring in somebody at edge rusher.
Yep.
A la Von Miller, Clowney, or somebody that has some pass rush juice. And I really don't want to see Percy Butler on the defense, like playing anything beyond special teams this year. So I'm hoping they bring somebody else to at least provide some depth at safety. You know,
right.
Like Justin Simmons, he's a Manassas guy, a local guy. It'd be great to see him come home. But,
yeah,
you know, they seem to never do what I want them to do. So, but we'll see what happens with that.
Yeah, good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in. And speaking of the secondary, I mean, how about Will Harris? Like, Will Harris is supposed to be that answer. That's why he was brought in here to maybe be an upgrade over Jeremy Chinn. I'm interested to see what Quan Martin's going to develop. Like what part of his game is going to look different? What part of his play in the secondary is going to improve? He had a great postseason, but I don't think he's a starting safety on a conference championship winning team. So I'm going to need to see more from him. So, yeah, Will Harrison and Quan Martin would be towards the top of my list of guys I'm interested to see how they will play at training camp. Let's go to Little in Bowie. What's up, Little?
Man, what's up, Adam? Always good to chop it up with you, man. I was telling Metal, man, I kind of made the difference with you with Chinn, though, Adam. I mean, because I look at a lot of tape of Chinn. Man, he's always taking a bad angle, Adam. And with this kid Harris, we even got three point milliseconds on attack mode, because I think my man Chinn was like a 4.6 in the 40, huh. And Harris a 4.3. So would that tell me that I played a little safety in high school, Adam, and I played strong safety. But this kid that we got from Illinois, I think he's ready to step his game up to the free. But let me tell you, if you put Harris in the free, you're going to be able to attack the runner quicker, because that 4.3 speed means something. Once you get that helmet in between them numbers, man, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
You ain't worried about no boogaloo in the middle of the field, because you on him before he get that cut. You see where I'm going at?
So, Little, what was the weakness you're pointing out in Jeremy Chinn, the speed?
I think Chinn was taking a lot of bad angles. Even if you look at that run in the Philly game, he could have popped. He could have popped that boy Saquon, man, but he doing a lot of arm tackles because he's taking bad angles. And where that come from, Adam, that come from the quickness to attack the runner.
Yeah.
If you got that speed, that's why I think they did. I mean, I'm telling you now. And I like McGee. McGee is a hell of a run stopper, man. He just got to get on the field. Once you put that kid on the first, let him, like maybe get him first and second down and see if he can stop that run, man, Adam, it ain't nothing but upstate, man. That's how I look at it, man. Look, moving forward, and I'm going to tell you now, all these pronunciators, they don't know what's coming, man. Once that kid start manifesting the field before he take off running, oh, my God, you tell woo-wee. I'm talking about JD5 looking upfield, because my man from Baltimore, he wasn't doing it in his first year. Now, he kind of got adamant about it before the backup then in BMO. He was doing a lot of it this year. Now, our quarterback, JD5, he was getting a little mix of that, but he was taking off a lot. But watch when he settled down in the pocket and he sprint out to the right on the left side of the pocket and he planted his feet. Hey, man, Adam, I'm telling you now. Man, look, you heard it from Little last year. I'm going to call it this year. Division championship, man, home games in Northwest Garden, man, Northwest Field.
I was hoping you were going to say Jaden for MVP.
My man.
Good call. I appreciate you chiming in. Here's what I will say, and because I believed Jeremy Chinn was good at safety and I would have brought him back, but I trust this front office, and so they let him go, and they brought in Will Harris, and hopefully it's an upgrade. Hopefully it's an upgrade. Because I believe in them. I think they're doing it right. I really do. Let's go to line three. Chris, who do we have on line three? Is this Skyler in RVA? Dialer?
I honestly had trouble hearing his name a little bit, so let's figure it out.
Let's go to Richmond, line three. You're on the fan with AWOD. What's
up, man? My name is Tyler in Richmond. Tyler.
What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Adam. My take is I think the pressure is on the entire defense this year because they won a lot of shootouts last year. So I think the defense is going to have to step it up and win some low-scoring games this year.
Yeah, I mean, the defense is going to have to be better, so much better. And here's the thing, I appreciate you chiming in. I just really feel like Dan Quinn probably lost a lot of sleep during the season when the defense let this team down, because that's his pride right there, is being the defensive specialist, being the smart mind in the room on the defensive side of the ball. And Joe Witt Jr. was the guy he hand-placed to be the defensive coordinator. So, like, I just believe that those two guys who had an entire offseason to figure out what didn't work, what did work, who we were going to replace here, how are we going to upgrade there. All right, we're going to let John Allen go. We think Johnny Newton's ready. We let Jeremy Chinn go. We bring in Will Harris. I mean, I just have to hope, because I don't think the talent level on defense is, like, all that amazing. But But the schemes, though, can the schemes hopefully create some turnovers, get some pressure, and force some mistakes? You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond on the new Sports Radio 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. We're live and local here until 12 noon. That's when I'll hand it off. We've got Metal Chris running the ones and twos. And Chris, do you know what made its return this week? Do you have any idea what made its return?
Are you talking possibly about Joey Chestnut?
I am not, but darn it, we should talk about that for a second, because that was like the highlight of my July 4th, and it wasn't watching Joey Chestnut particularly, but it was I went to a party, and I pulled it up on my phone, and people started crowding around me, and this 9-year-old little boy was blown away. He said he'd never seen anything like this before. He'd never heard of Joey Chestnut. And I was like, yeah, that's my Michael Jordan, buddy. And he was just obsessed with watching this guy, you know, stuff the hot dogs in his mouth. It was like watching a kid discover Michael Jordan. And that was the coolest moment for me, was watching somebody else realize, and this little kid going like, oh my God, he's up by 20 dogs. And I'm like, yeah, he's MJ. He's the GOAT of hot dog eating. And he really, any major league eating competition. That's the other thing I think people don't realize. He holds the record for like burritos eating, chalupas eating, chicken wings eating, and hot dog. Like he's the GOAT for all things major league eating. But what I'm talking about is chicken snack wraps at McDonald's. My girlfriend went the other day. She said it was life-changing. And it's funny because that was one of my favorite snacks as a kid. After soccer practice or basketball practice, my dad would take us to McDonald's. We'd get the snack wrap for, what was it? It was like 99 cents, $1.99 back then. I'd get one or two of them, get me a soda, get me a pop, and that was our dinner after practice a lot of times growing up. I mean, I hate to say it because I played a lot of soccer and basketball. It was like 3 days a week after practice we'd go to McDonald's, and I would always ask for that snack wrap. So it is in the news, and so I wanted to bring up a little dude food here on AWOD Radio.
Dude food.
We're not responsible for the content of this program or anything we say when we're really hungry.
Where's my food?
Dude, where's my
food?
The most delicious food you ever tasted.
Yes!
I could eat this off a flip-flop!
Loves food.
Dude food.
So about 5 years ago exactly, we had the chicken sandwich wars in this country with McDonald's, Chick-fil-A, Wendy's, and Popeyes entering the mix with their heavily breaded chicken sandwich. You remember, Chris, how the chicken sandwich wars took over that summer?
I do. I was team Popeyes, by the way.
You were. Dude, that thing was so damn breaded. I mean, it was like you're eating a donut.
Had the most heat, though. Had the most heat.
It did. I have always been a believer that Chick-fil-A is the best chicken sandwich, and I almost put Wendy's number two. I really do think Wendy's knocks it out of the park. But the new sandwich war this summer is the chicken wraps, snack wrap sandwich war, as McDonald's has brought back their beloved snack wrap on July 10th. Nearly a decade after it was phased out. But they're not the only one with snack wraps. Burger King's letting you everybody know. We got our BK Royal Crispy Wraps. And we've been in the wrap game since 2023. They're eating wrappers. Like they're Lil Wayne. Popeyes has a chicken wrap.
Yeah, since the girls were wearing Sassoon. Isn't that the line?
Popeyes announced June 2nd they were introducing a chicken wrap with their heavily breaded chicken. They've got classic spicy or honey mustard. Sonic has entered into the wars. They've got a crispy tender wrap that they announced on June 7th. It's all the summer of snack wrap wars here in the United States. You know what? Even Taquero Taco Bell. Taco Bell has entered with their chicken tacos. I kind of love the commercials they do where it's like, we're a Mexican place that does chicken that also does Mexican food but also does chicken, and we do a chicken well. It's like a funny commercial. It kind of gets me fired up, but I've never had it. Have you had it yet, Chris?
No, I haven't yet. I haven't.
Yeah. If I go to Taco Bell, I feel like I'm getting my quesadilla that I've always gotten, or I'm getting my Dorito Locos tacos. I don't know if I could trust them in the chicken game, you know? Wendy's has a wrap duo, but theirs is grilled chicken. And so you've got all these different options you could try. The chicken snack wrap wars in the U.S. of A. this summer. Choose your warrior. Choose your fighter. I kind of think the Burger King might be decent with the snack wraps, because I do feel like sometimes their chicken is a little underrated. I do love the chicken fries at Burger King. Always had. I don't know what the heck's in it. It's not probably good for you at all. But I'd be interested in trying the BK Royal Crispy Wrap. But the McDonald's one, as a kid, it was amazing. Now I feel like I'm going to get it and I'm going to be like, I could make this at home easily. Would you go out and try all these different snack wraps, Chris?
I'm not huge on the wraps in general. I don't know. They're kind of fine, I guess. But I like a good old sandwich more.
It's really?
Just, yeah, it's more me.
It's going along with the theme in this country where everybody loves tacos. Tacos, right?
Yeah.
Taco Rock, my goodness. My guy Chuck Lee's got about 12 taco wraps open now in the DMV. He needs to bring one down to Richmond. But it's like Taco Bombo, Taco Rock, Don Taco. I mean, it's like every week there's a new taco place that opens up, and they're so damn expensive sometimes. And my whole thing has been, Chris, I don't know where you weigh in on this, tacos are not a dinner food. It's a late night snack or a lunch. It never fills me up.
Oh,
it's
I don't like, know. Taco Tuesday to me is that's key.
See, I've done Taco Tuesday, and then you know what? I'm still hungry after that. I need a burrito or like fajitas to fill me up. Tacos, I always feel like I still got room in my belly for more food. It never fully fills me up. But maybe that's just me. So it is the chicken snack wars going on in the country this summer. So I'm going to go out and try them all. I'm going to go try them all. I'll take some notes. I'll be able to break it down. But I just think it's kind of funny how McDonald's is in the news saying, we're back, right? They're like McDonald's trying to be Michael Jordan with the release. Snack wrap back. That's all they had to say. But everybody else is like, hey, Burger King's like, we've been in this game for 5 years. Sonic's like, hey, we don't forget about us just because people roll out in their roller skates to give you their meal. Don't forget, we've had the crispy tender wraps for years, too. And Wendy's is in it. But the Taco Bell one is just so funny to me because they have, like, gone all in on chicken recently. They've got chicken tenders. They've got a wrap. They've got a crispy chicken burrito. I don't know if I can ever trust them as a chicken place. Well, I think I would always go with just taco or a quesadilla. But that's just me. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. Also, the price is just kind of crazy to me how much it's changed since I was a kid. It used to be the 99-cent meal. I used to go crazy on that at, like, McDonald's and Burger King. Right after school, right, you'd go there and you just spend like $7, all things from the 99-cent meal from the dollar menu. It's just crazy how things have changed. Phone lines open, 1-800-636-1067. Give us your thoughts, who you think's the best of the chicken wars. Matt tweets me, AWOD, I remember the chicken wars in 2020. People were lined up outside. It even got violent for a second. He says, remember when someone got stabbed in a Popeye's chicken sandwich? I remember the viral meme. You remember, Chris, of the Popeye's worker that was sitting outside. She looked like she had worked just a triple shift. She looked like she hated her life. And it's because the lines were crazy. So we get another war this summer, and it's the snack wrap wars. I don't think it's going to get as crazy as the chicken sandwich wars.
Hopefully no stabbings this time.
Yeah. But and there's just There's something, too, about the sandwich. It's the way you grab it. It's different than the snack wrap. You can, the sandwich is like you almost take your time and you, it's like savory. The chicken snack wrap, I'm eating that thing in like two bites. Boom, boom. It's gone. Boom, boom. If you want to chime in.
Joey Chestnut it.
Yeah. At AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. Let's get back into the National Football League. Before I was on today, the morning show host was talking about the 10 NFL players with the most pressure on them in 2025. I've got my list in front of me. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Green from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio. We had a couple people that wanted to chime in on the snack wrap wars. You can just tweet me your thoughts at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air as we go around the National Football League right now. I wanted to talk about the 10 players I believe have the most pressure on them in 2025. And I'm putting Jaden Daniels on this list here because of the fact that he had that incredible rookie season, one of the greatest rookie seasons of all time. And it would have been the greatest if he had won two more games, right? Rookie to win a Super Bowl. We would have been talking about the most iconic rookie season in NFL history. And it's still up there. It's probably like top five what he did, to be honest with you. But there's pressure that comes with that success, to build off of that, to have another solid year in year two. Jaden Daniels at number 10. Number 9, quarterback that he took down in the division championship game on the road in Detroit, and that's Jared Goff. How does Jared Goff perform? You have the fact that he's lost his offensive coordinator. A lot of people gave most of that credit to Ben Johnson, that it was his schemes, that it was his play calling that allowed Jared Goff to just thread the needle on play action passes over and over again. And this is a Detroit team that won 15 games, was the one seed, and didn't get it. Didn't get to the conference championship game. And I do feel like there's some pressure for Jared Goff here to have success in the regular season and then to have success in the postseason this year. That's the part of his game in Detroit that's missing. He had that success in L.A., so I think the Lions as a team are under pressure. They're in a tough division. I do think the Bears will take a step forward. So Jared Goff at number 9. Number 8, Jordan Love. I do feel like this is the season where the Packers need to take a step forward. They've gotten into the playoffs, right? They struggled at the close of last season. And for Jordan Love, it's the fact that, like, man, they won some games last year without you, right? So you've got to have, I think, more passing yards, probably a better touchdown interception ratio, better completion percentage for sure. But this is a big season, I feel like, for Jordan Love. He's got to take a big step forward because it kind of feels like Jaden Daniels has passed by him and maybe some other younger quarterbacks in the NFC as well. So I'll go Jordan Love at 8-7 over to the AFC. And the L.A. Chargers with Justin Herbert. How many years can he be a great regular season quarterback and just an awful playoff quarterback, right? I mean, this is going to be a big year for Herbert. I do think Harbaugh's got that team going in the right direction. We'll see what they get from Najee Harris. Well, he definitely hurt himself with fireworks incident on July 4th, but luckily they have Omarion Hampton out of North Carolina, who they selected in round 1, and Trey Harris in round 2. So they got another wide receiver in round 5. They certainly did the work to help Harbaugh, to help Justin Herbert take a big step forward this season. I think there's pressure for Herbert here because how many more years of playoff failure until they look and say, hey, maybe we need to get a better quarterback? Number six, I'm going to say it's the combination of Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson. This league just doesn't usually get a Hall of Fame running back, a Hall of Fame quarterback, both MVPs on the same team, right? And they had tremendous success last year until the postseason, right? It was not a good game from Lamar Jackson, and they needed more from Derrick Henry. And the window of opportunity for the Ravens seems like it's closing a little bit. They need to strike right now. And so I do feel like this is a big season for the Ravens. They can't just win their division anymore. It's got to be a conference championship appearance for the Ravens this year. I think the combination of Derrick Henry, Lamar Jackson are under a lot of pressure, just like the Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen, who once again fell to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Conference Championship game. Just like the window of opportunity might be closing for the Ravens, I do feel like it's closing for the Bills. There's other teams that are getting better in the AFC. The Texans are getting better. We'll see what happens with Cincinnati taking a step forward and so forth. But the Bills have got to get past the Kansas City Chiefs. And the other thing is Josh Allen's under pressure, because if it doesn't work for the Bills this year, Josh Allen's going to be there. I don't think Sean McDermott would be if they don't get to the conference championship again this year. I think it might be the end of Sean McDermott's career in Buffalo. Four, Dak Prescott. He's been leaped over by Jaden Daniels. He's been leaped over by Jalen Hurts. And with the success Russell Wilson had last year, he might be the worst quarterback in the NFC East. And you're playing on what a lot of people like to call America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. A tremendous amount of pressure for Dak Prescott, and he's coming off of a major injury. I'd be worried if I were a Cowboys fan. My take on the Cowboys this year, and I love to say this because I hate Dallas, is Dak Prescott will not have a good season, and it'll be Dak's last year in Dallas, and Brian Schottenheimer Jr. will have just 1 year. Because the reason he got that job, and it's not a sexy hire at all, is because they believed he would get the best out of Dak Prescott. It could be a one-and-done situation for Schottenheimer Jr., and Dak could play his final season in Dallas. Three, Caleb Williams has the playmakers. He has the offensive coordinator. He was the Heisman Trophy winner, one of the most anticipated number one overall picks in a long time. This has got to be his year that he takes a big step forward. And I think they can win 9 games. But in terms of Caleb, like, they need more exciting plays and less turnovers from him and less sacks and more of, you know, I don't want to say game manager, but there were times when he, like, lost games for the Bears by making boneheaded plays and trying to go for the home run ball too often. Just keep your offense on the field by converting third downs, right? So a lot of pressure, I think, on Caleb Williams. Number two, for me, it's Bryce Young. For me, it's Bryce Young, and I don't believe in him. I don't think it's going to work out in Carolina. This is probably his last season that he'll get an opportunity to be the team starting quarterback for the entire season. They thought he made some strides at the end of last season, and they brought in the best wide receiver in the draft in Tetra McMillan. They also grabbed Jimmy Horn Jr. out of Colorado. We know how great his dad was. So this is got to be the year that Bryce Young takes a massive step forward here. I mean, he's got a good running back as well next to him in Chuba Hubbard. You need 3,500 yards, not 2,400. You need 20 touchdowns, not 15. And you need less than 10 interceptions. But I think the completion percentage and the QBR from Bryce Young are what's been so disappointing. He's got to improve in that aspect. And number one, and people will probably disagree with this, but I think Sam Darnold. Because, like, you make all this money, and Seattle put a lot of faith in you, and you just won 14 games for the Minnesota Vikings. I'm worried that Seattle's going to be bad this year. Like, 5 wins bad. I just don't believe in Sam Darnold. It was more Justin Jefferson last season and how damn good that Vikings defense was that they could win games like 17-10. I kind of think Seattle made a massive mistake giving him a big contract. So I think there's a lot of pressure on Sam Darnold. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. We close out the show next. Don't go anywhere. Don't touch that dial. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 and Richmond 910 AM 105.1 FM. And always available on the go with the Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. Just search AUDACY. It gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. Got Super Bowl champ and the legend, the DMV, Doc Walker, taking over after me. But if you missed the show, you can rewind on the Odyssey app. We started the show with a little NBA Wizards Summer League reactions to the loss last night to the Phoenix Suns. Went around the NFL, talked to Commanders training camp. We're 10 days away. But I teased I would give my thoughts on Wimbledon because that's one of the biggest things going on in the sports world right now. Major League Baseball about to hit the All-Star break with the Home Run Derby and then All-Star Game coming up early next week. But today, the Wimbledon Finals on the women's side, and tomorrow, the Wimbledon Finals on the men's side. And every time I bring up this topic and I talk about the struggles the American men have had, I have to say the women have been fantastic. From the Williams sisters, Venus and Serena, to Coco Gauff, Madison Keys, I mean, going back, Lindsay Davenport, we've had amazing American women. And Amanda Anisimova is trying to become the next great. And she made it to the Wimbledon Finals. But my goodness, is she having a tough time with Iga Swiatek. Iga the cat, my goodness, 6-0, 6-0. She skunks her in the first set. It's going to be tough for Amanda Anisimova to respond from that. And really, I do feel like Swiatek is the best tennis player in women's action right now. Probably Sabalenka's next, but it was incredible. Madison Keys won the Australian Open American. Coco Gauff wins the French American. And Anisimova had a chance to make it. 3 wins in her own Grand Slams for American women. On the men's side, we have not had a champion in now 22 years. And we had Ben Shelton make a run to the quarterfinals. Gets taken down by Carlos Alcaraz. Taylor Fritz makes a run to the semifinals. Taken down by Carlos Alcaraz. And that's the problem. Standing in the way used to be Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal, and Novak Djokovic. Well, now standing in the way is Novak Djokovic, Jannik Sinner, and Carlos Alcaraz. And those two guys have the ability to maybe even surpass Roger Federer and Rafa Nadal. I don't think they can pass over Djokovic, but how young they are and the talent level that they have and the winning prowess that they've already shown, we're getting a rematch of what was already just a fantastic, one of the best matches in the last 5 years. Alcaraz against Sinner, a 5-setter that Alcaraz came from behind to take down Sinner. We get that rematch tomorrow. And as much as it pains me to know that the American men might never win another Grand Slam because there's just always going to be more Europeans that we got to get past that we're not good enough because tennis is such a mental game, and for some reason the American men don't have it, the women do. But I love the greatness of the sport, and I think tomorrow is going to be just fantastic theater. You know, I'd love to say as a kid, this was everything. Breakfast at Wimbledon. My mom would get up early on Sunday of the championship. She'd cook pancakes. My dad would make, you know, scrambled eggs, and we'd sit in front of the TV and watch the Wimbledon final. And when I was a kid, you know, sometimes it was Pete Sampras. Sometimes it was Andre Agassi. And then for years, it was Roger Federer or Andy Murray. But we're talking about the best two tennis players right now, and they have the potential to maybe become the greatest tennis players of all time because of the winning they've already done at such a young age. And I'll be rooting for Jannik Sinner. For some reason, I don't think that Alcaraz's personality is that lovable. But I also didn't like a young Roger Federer, so maybe I'll learn to like him more later. But he is just 22 years old. And has already won 5 single titles this year, 21 in his career, and a, I believe, 5-time Grand Slam champion as well. He's also now going for maybe his third in a row at Wimbledon. And Jannik Sinner is right below him, but he's number one in the ranking, although he hasn't had the Grand Slam success that Carlos Alcaraz has had. Carlitos, Jannik Sinner barely ever makes a mistake. And tomorrow on the grass, I'm picking Jannik Sinner to win for that reason. On the clay, I think Alcaraz can make up for his mistakes, make up for going for the winner on every shot, because he can extend rallies, because he gets to everything, and he can make up for it. On the grass, I don't think he can. And so I think we're going to get another five-setter, honestly, unless Sinner is able to win in four. But this is going to be fantastic theater. And so even if you're not the biggest tennis fan, I think you should be locked into your TV tomorrow morning, 11 a.m., breakfast at Wimbledon, and check out Jannik Sinner against Carlos Alcaraz. We might be watching these two play against each other in finals for the next 15 years. I really do believe it's going to be like that, because it's all about Grand Slam winners, and it's all about, you know, getting the most titles of all time. And Djokovic, what he's done, it's why I have to say he's the greatest at 24. It's unbelievable. And he came up and had to go past Roger Federer, and then had to go past Rafa Nadal, right? But the times have changed. And so now you're looking at 2 years in a row, the Australian Open winner, Jannik Sinner. 2 years in a row, the French Open winner, Carlos Alcaraz. 2 years in a row, Wimbledon winner, Carlos Alcaraz. U.S. Open will be interesting, because you have not had back-to-back winners in more than 10 years at the U.S. Open. And the last 3 years, it's been the big three, the new big three, Carlos Alcaraz, Jannik Sinner, and Novak Djokovic. The question is, does Novak Djokovic have any more Grand Slams in him? It's tough to say that he does, given the fact that he's made two great runs to the semifinals, that the two latest Grand Slams, and both have been swept three straight sets by Jannik Sinner. And then this is what it comes down to, and it's why, unfortunately, I feel like Nadal decided to retire, though I hoped he had one more run in him at the French Open, and why Roger Federer retired and didn't have another run in him at Wimbledon. When you get over, 35 and things like that, you can play at the highest of your levels for one match. And maybe, like Nadal would do, you could do it for two straight matches. But in the Grand Slams, you got to do it for six straight matches. And the last two slams, Novak Djokovic has simply run out of gas. And I just wonder, will we ever see him get past everybody again? Or will he get past Carlos and then lose to Sinner? Or get past Sinner and then lose to Alcaraz? I believe we're going to see Alcaraz against Sinner in like six of the next 16 finals, and maybe more. We're just going to continue to see this over and over again. And it won't have the lore of Roger versus Rafa because of how much of a household name they were. And to be honest, it was the fact that Roger played the beautiful game, had that fantastic backhand, and Rafa had the unbelievable forehand. And maybe we'll grow to love Alcaraz and his speed more, and Sinner and his, rarely ever making an unforced error. But right now, I don't love the two, but I love the greatness of both of them making it back to finals over and over again. I mean, the last six Grand Slam champions have been either Carlos Alcaraz or Jannik Sinner. That's the new era of tennis, and unfortunately, I don't see an American man getting past either of them. Appreciate everybody listening to the show, hanging with me here as I talk all things sports, whatever's on the top of my mind as we cruise through the summer here. I'll be back next Saturday, 9 to noon, right here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Have a great end of your weekend. Maybe go out and see Superman. That's what I want to do. But stay locked to 106.7 The Fan here for the Super Bowl champion and legend, my buddy Doc Walker, comes up next. Appreciate everybody listening to the show. Thanks to Metal Chris, One Runs and Twos. I'll see you guys next week on The Fan.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.